Welcome to day 329 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today we are going to be completing the book of Galatians. We will be reading from the New American Standard Bible, Galatians chapters 4, 5, and 6. And we are going to hear some of the most encouraging words found from Paul's writings in the New Testament, that we are no longer slaves but sons, that it was for freedom that Christ set us free, and then also the beautiful treatise on walking in the Spirit and what is the fruit of the Spirit that should be demonstrated in our lives. So we will hear some very powerful words today as we complete this beautiful epistle to the Galatians written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by the Apostle Paul. So beginning at Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. However, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. I beg of you, brethren, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong, but you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time, and that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus Himself. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? They eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will seek them. But it is good always to be eagerly sought in a commendable manner, and not only when I am present with you. My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you, but I could wish to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time he who was born, according to the flesh, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. So it is now also. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman. Chapter 5. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Chapter 6. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised, so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. This is the end of today's scripture reading and the end of the Epistle to the Galatians. In today's devotional, I want to focus on some of the scriptures we heard here in Galatians chapter 5. We were given a very clear outline of both the works or the fruit, so to speak, of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. It speaks to us about life and how people live their lives, what they choose to yield to, either the flesh or the Spirit. It says here in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." A few verses later, in verse 19, we hear this: "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are," and then we get a list: "immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So we are given very clear outline of the things which are considered fruit or the deeds of the flesh. In other words, the carnal man that's in enmity against God, in opposition to the Spirit of God, these things that were listed. And then in the very next verse, verse 22 of chapter 5, we receive this beautiful list, number 2, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The things we previously heard about, there are laws against those things. But here, the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law against a person walking in love, being filled with joy, being filled with peace, exercising patience with people, showing kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So we're given a very clear picture of what belongs to the flesh and the carnal man, and what belongs to the spirit, what's produced by the Spirit of God in a person's life, and what's produced by the flesh in a person's life. And God has called us to be bearers of fruit, people who bear fruit, and it's fruit that remains in our lives, remains as a blessing for other people. The fruit of the Spirit. And I want to focus on that today because it's so critical for us to be able to live a life that both pleases God and witnesses for God in a very unclean generation that we live in today, that's filled with the things that were referred to here in Galatians 5 as deeds of the flesh. They're all over the TV. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. The biggest seller of books and movies is Harry Potter and all his sorcery. That's completely against the Word of God, because the source of the power that's shown in those movies about witchcraft is completely from Satan himself. So these are the deeds of the flesh, very clearly stated here in Galatians. But then we're given this beautiful listing of what is the fruit of the Spirit. And these are the things that should be demonstrated in our lives. This word fruit here in Galatians 5, 22 comes from a Greek word. And it simply means that which is produced by the inherent energy of a living organism. The Spirit of God residing in you as a believer is a living organism, isn't full of God energy, and that God energy through the organism of the Holy Spirit will produce in your life, if you will yield to the Holy Spirit, the fruit that is listed here in Galatians 5:22. The difficulty that we have as human beings is that we live in a fallen world. We are still walking in a body, natural human body, which is flesh based, and we have a free will. And that free will allows us to choose. We can choose to yield to the Spirit of God inside of us every single day, in every single circumstance, in every conversation we have with other people, in every pressure-filled moment of our lives. We can choose to yield to the Spirit of God and allow the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, to be produced in the midst of that situation. Or we can yield to the flesh, which is easily angered, easily irritated, easily envious, easily offended, easily loses its peace, easily is not gentle with people or patient with people. We can yield to that side, the flesh, or we can yield to the Spirit of God within us. If we're willing and truly practice literally yielding to the Spirit in every situation we face, we will begin to see the fruit of the Spirit multiplying in our life, multiplying, producing. And the very first fruit that should be evidenced in our lives and is the desire of God for our lives is this love that's mentioned as the first on the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And the word love there is from a Greek word, agape, which is not human love. It's not phileo love, which is the brotherly love, human fellowship type of love. It's not eros love. It's another Greek word which refers to like a carnal love that most people attribute or call romantic love. It is neither of those two things. It's this third type of love, agape. It's supernatural, unconditional, the God kind of love. It's God's attitude toward people. God's type of love, which is not based on what the other person does or says or how they treat us. The God kind of love, this agape love, will love regardless of whether there's a response from the other party, whether the other party is kind to us or not kind, loving to us or unloving. It doesn't matter. Agape love loves regardless. It's the God kind of love. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son so that we could have eternal life, even though people weren't seeking God. God sent his son. Even though people weren't interested in serving God, God so loved and sent his son. So the God kind of love is not based on the response of the party being loved. You know, in human relationships, especially in our generation today, if a person no longer feels loving towards someone, or they don't feel like they're getting loved back, they're as fast to break the relationship and to withdraw any love they were giving out as fast as you could turn around, because the love that they brought to the table or to the relationship wasn't the God kind of love that's unconditional. It was very human, selfish love, if you even want to call it love. But that's not this love that's mentioned here as a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, is an agape, supernatural, unconditional type of love that loves people regardless of how they behave. It's an amazing love, and God wants us to walk in that same type of love toward every single person. Now, it's not humanly possible to do that. It requires the Spirit of God to operate through your life for that to happen. One of my favorite quotations on this very subject comes from the book called The Three Battlegrounds, written by author and pastor Francis Frangipani, and he wrote something very profound in this. He says, "You may not like what someone has done, but you do not have an option to stop loving them. Love is your only option. By love, I mean a compassion that is empowered by faith and prayer to see God's best come forth in the one I love. When I have love for someone, I have predetermined that I'm going to stand with them regardless of what they are going through." And God wants that type of love manifested in his kingdom through his people to show people what God's love is like. Yet the human or carnal or fleshly reaction to people who don't treat us well or don't do something that we like or they offend us in some way is, instead of loving them through it regardless of how they're behaving, we struggle with even forgiving them or overlooking that weakness in their life. And Francis Frangipani says something very profound about that. He says, every time you refuse to forgive or to overlook a weakness in another, your heart not only hardens toward that person, but it hardens toward God. Because the scripture says clearly in 1 John 4:20, the one who doesn't love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You do not have an option to stop loving other people. Love is our only option. That's what God's called us to. And God gives us the power to love by his Holy Spirit working that fruit into our lives. But we have to be willing to yield to it. If you hold on to the erroneous assumption that if someone mistreats you, that you have the right to be angry about it, to demand an apology, or in some way have your rights maintained in that situation, then you will never grow at all in the spiritual life. You'll never grow in your Christian life, and the lack of love or your lack of willingness to allow God's love to be formed in you and love that person will prevent you from having fruitfulness in your life. And that, to me, is a serious thing. It's not only God's desire for me to be fruitful, it's my desire to be fruitful in the kingdom of God. And the very first and primary and most important fruit that God wants to work in our lives is this fruit of the Spirit called love. You cannot have the rest of the fruit of the Spirit in operation until you have love flowing through your life. It's foundational for all of the fruit of the Spirit. It literally must flavor every area of your life. It says in Ephesians 3:17, being rooted and grounded in love. We're to be rooted and grounded in love. That's what's to come out of our lives. From the root of love, everything else is to grow. I believe truly that failure in a Christian's life is a result of root failure of some sort. And it is the root of love that needs to be first. Proverbs 12:12 tells us the root of the righteous yields fruit. God wants fruit in your life, and it comes out of the root, which is in love, which is God working His love in you as you yield to the Spirit so that that love fruit can be formed and then distributed to everyone you meet. A lack of love, or let me say, not allowing God to work that love in your life, and you not having the fruit of love in your life, will literally hinder every single area of your spiritual life. Let me give you some scriptural backup for what I'm saying here, that a lack of love will hinder all areas of your spiritual life. First of all, your prayers will be hindered. If you do not have love operating in your life, your prayers will be hindered. In 1 Peter 3:7, it specifically says that husbands need to live with their wives in an understanding way and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. So if you want to take it in the reverse, men, your prayers will be hindered if you don't walk in love toward your wives, live with her in an understanding way, show her honor, and as a fellow heir of the grace of life. This love needs to be flowing through your life. It's easy to honor people when you have a heart of love. It's easy to be understanding when you have a heart of love. If you don't, your prayers will be hindered, meaning God is not interested in answering when there's not that love that's flowing through your life as a believer, since that's the number one fruit God wants to see. The second area of your spiritual life that will be completely hindered is operation of the spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the amazing chapter on the subject of love tells us that even if you had all faith to remove mountains, had the strongest gift of prophecy, understood by revelation knowledge all mysteries, but you don't have love, you are nothing. So God is not interested in how dynamic your spiritual gifts are if there's no love flowing through your life. Since God is love and you're supposed to be representing Him, love is the most important fruit He wants to be operating in your life. And it is tied to every other aspect of your spiritual life. So those are areas that are hindered by a lack of love. Let me give you a third one that's very significant for your life. Do you know that your physical body will be open to the attack of the enemy? Here's an example from the book of Proverbs. If you look at Proverbs 14:30, it says, envy rots the bones. Envy is a direct violation of the law of love. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, love does not envy. It doesn't get envious of other people's success, their blessing, their happiness. If you are envious of anyone, you're envious of your sister-in-law because her marriage is so lovely, or your cousin because they have prospered in their business and your business hasn't prospered as much as their business, or your friend or your neighbor or anyone. You have envy in your heart when you see someone else's success or blessing. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to repent for that attitude. You need to ask God to cleanse you of it. And you need to ask God to give you a heart of rejoicing for that person who has a blessing. Rejoice with those who rejoice, the scripture says. Love can rejoice when someone else is blessed. Envy can never rejoice. And envy is a direct violation of the law of love. And it's an open door to physical problems. Problems with your bones. Envy rots the bones. That's what Proverbs tells us. And that's a book of wisdom. That there is a physical link to spiritual issues. Absolutely. And here is just one small example. Another hindrance in your life that comes from not allowing God's fruit of love to be developed in your life and passing it out freely to others is that God's blessings and promises for you will be hindered. For an example, we receive God's blessings and promises by faith. That is what the scripture tells us. The just shall live by their faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. And Hebrews 11 tells us. And Matthew 21, Jesus told us, believe and you shall receive. So faith is necessary in order to receive God's blessings. However, in Galatians here, we heard today in Galatians 5, 6, that faith only operates, produces by love. So without the love, your faith isn't going to work. The blessings and the promises that you want to receive from God and God wants to get to you will be blocked, will be hindered. So this is very, very critical. Without love, faith won't work and you won't be able to receive from God the promises you have read in His Word. So God is very interested in you having this fruit of love operating in your life. He wants that for you. He wants that in you. He wants you to want that in you. And we have to yield to the Spirit of God to allow that fruit of love to become developed in our lives. It means we have to put down the flesh. When you want to be angry at someone, say, God, I don't want to be angry at that person. I lay that at your feet. I ask you to give me love instead of anger for that person. And you just begin to walk in the Spirit, letting the Lord show you what is hindering you from receiving the fruit of love being developed in your life. Let the Lord speak to you. Let Him develop that in you. Yield to the Spirit. When the Spirit of God says, bless that person, and your flesh says, no way, that person doesn't deserve anything. They've cheated me. They've done this, or they don't work, or they're lazy, or any reason your mind may give you for not wanting to act in love towards somebody. Lay that at Jesus' feet and say, Lord, I want to think like you. I want to love like you. I want to be like you. And so I want that fruit of love developed in my life. And as you allow that to be developed, then these other fruits that are listed here in Galatians 5:22, the joy will begin to come, the peace, the patience with people, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. They'll just begin to develop. This is so critical for your life in every single area. And it's what God desires for you. And I believe it's what you desire for you. God wants us to be imitators of God, walking in love, but we cannot do it without the fruit of the Spirit, this agape love, being deposited, developed, matured in us through the Spirit of God. God wants to use you. in many ways. But without love, whatever you may be doing, nice works, good works, they're worthless in God's eyes. He said, if you give all your money to the poor and you don't have love, it's nothing to God, because love is the primary thing. Faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. That's God's word. That's God's attitude. That's God's heart. That's because God is love, and He wants us to be a reflection of Him to the world. And the type of love that we are talking about here is not just some feeling or emotion or some pie-in-the-sky idea or idealistic thought. It is none of those. It is actually something that can be only known from the actions it prompts. W.E. Vines, who was a Bible scholar and he wrote the famous Dictionary of New and Old Testament Words, he said those words after a in-depth study of the Greek of this word agape. He said, love can only be known from the actions it prompts. It is not an impulse from the feelings. It is an exercise of the will in deliberate choices. What are some of the choices that love makes, or some of the actions that love prompts? I'm just going to give you a few as we close, so you can think about that this week as you go through your week and encounter people who will not be easy to love, and yet God has called you to love them. Some of the acts of love include: love overlooks weaknesses in others. Proverbs 10:12 tells us love covers all sin. 1 Peter 4:8 almost quotes it by saying love covers a multitude of sin. God's love covers our multitude of sin, if you think about it. And then His love in us, so this fruit of the Spirit in us, constrains us to overlook on purpose a multitude of weaknesses in other people. Secondly, another act of love, or action that's prompted by the Spirit of love, is that love will cover with silence other people's sins, meaning that love does not ever repeat the faults of others to other people. It refuses to speak evil about someone else. I see this as one of the major sins in the United States, because it is such a favorite practice, hobby, pursuit of the media to continuously pursue people and then publish any type of dirt they can find on some famous person. They love to repeat or uncover a multitude of sins. Not cover a multitude, uncover a multitude. It's the absolute opposite of the Spirit of love. And yet it's a passion, hobby, and full-time job for many people to publish in the newspaper, in the media, on the internet, or wherever, dirt on other people's sins, failings, shortcomings of others. God's love in us constrains us to overlook and to be silent about other people's failures. We bear with one another, making allowances because we love people. That's what Ephesians 4:2 tells us to do. A third act of love, action prompted by the Spirit of love, is that love always seeks to restore people who have been overtaken in sin. That's what we heard in Galatians 6:1. Love forgives. Father, forgive them. You remember the words of Jesus while He's being nailed to the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Stephen in Acts 7 said something very similar. Lay not this sin to their charge. Romans tells us that love works no ill to his neighbor. And 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love does not think evil of anyone. These are just some of the actions that are prompted by the spirit of love, this unconditional type of love, this God kind of love that is the fruit of the spirit that's worked in a person's life. God wants us to be that person. God wants you to be that person, filled with his love, displaying his love, lavish with his love, generous with his love, not cold in love. God wants us to be the warmest hearted people on the earth because we're a reflection of him, and he wants us to show what he's like to the whole world. May God assist you this week in developing that fruit of love in your life and have a love-filled and victorious week. God bless you.